all about faith. And we've talked about if you lack wisdom, you need to have the faith to ask God to get wisdom. Then there needs to be testing faith that you can endure God's testing. There needs to be temptation faith that you can endure temptation. Last week we talked about grounding faith and what a Christian is supposed to be and what true religion truly is. It's not what man thinks, it's what God's Word says. And so, as we've been studying this, we're going to come to a piece in the book of James that is a struggle for some. We all have favorites. Even Christ had an inner circle of Peter, James, and John. But the issue is that we can't let favorites get in the way of ministry. It's oftentimes that we have a close friend or something, and that we might not do the right thing just to because they're our friend. Folks, we can't do that. You know, there may be some that say, well, I can only deal with my color. I may only deal with my gender. I may only deal with people that drive the same car I drive. We come up with all sorts of things, and we will treat people differently at times. But folks, Christ died on the cross for everyone.
Amen.
He died, and He gives us a ministry to the entire world. Not just the people you think of, the people that He prompts us to through the Holy Spirit. So tonight I want to talk about an impartial faith. And we're going to look at the first 13 verses of James chapter 2. You know, when it comes to faith, like last week, we have to look through a lens that's different. We cannot look through our own lens. We must look through God's lens. And in order to live the Christian life, we need to change the way we think. Romans said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that we're supposed to add to our faith a whole bunch of things. Some of them is godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. It says, if these things be in you and abound, you know that you will never fall. So here's some things that we might need a change of thinking. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19, God tells Moses, you don't be partial in your judgment. You be fair and equitable with everybody. He says, thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. In Romans chapter 2, verse 11, Paul writes and says, for there is no respect of persons with God. God treats everyone equally. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, it says, for there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's where spell checker doesn't come in there. You cut and paste, you get one of those things once in a while. We're supposed to have the unity of the faith. And folks, we need to change our way of thinking. Philippians chapter 2 says we have to have the mind of Christ. Do you have the mind of Christ? Is it Christ first? And then others second, and then you last. That's what we have to have. So tonight, we're going to look at the problem, okay? The pronouncement, the prescription, and basically the prognosis on this. So let's look at the problem. In James chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Okay, this is not talking about saving faith. This is talking about exercising faith. When we exercise our faith, We need to do it with impartiality. So James writes here, and he says, he warns us. He says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect for persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. And folks, I've seen this in churches. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. See, there's a problem when we pay favors. There's a problem when we hang around with certain people and not hang around with the entire church. There's no room for cliques. Amen. There's no room for cliques in God's house. We need to serve God. And we need to be bound in the unity of love. Now, the question here is, let's apply chapter 1. Is this a test or a temptation? If it's a test and we treat everybody impartially, then we'll have the mind of Christ and we'll get closer to Him. If we do have this problem, then it's a temptation to play favorites. It's a temptation to think about it your way. It's a temptation, and you'll go away from Him. But the verse clearly states, it says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. This morning we heard what He told the religious leaders. He said, you've had your chance, okay? Because of your rejection, you're rejected. You had the opportunity, but the opportunity is lost. Folks, this can kill a church. This can kill your faith right here, is to have preferences towards one another. Prejudice should never be in a Christian's vocabulary. It should never be there. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all sinners needing His redemption and His mercy. No one's any better than anybody else. We've been learning in Matthew. If you want to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you need to be what? Servant of who? All. Servant of all. See, when you have respect to persons, you're looking the wrong way. You're looking on the outside and not on the inside. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, this is talking about Samuel when he's watching the sons of Jesse come by. And God's telling Samuel, and He tells us not to look as man sees. It says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. That's what singled out Saul. You see where it got them? See where it got Saul? Didn't do any good, did it? Because I have, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. And folks, we need to change the way we think and see as God sees. For man looketh on the what? Outward appearance. See? James is talking about you look on the outward appearance. You look at the way they're dressed. You look at how much bling they have on them. Okay? Oh, I want some of the bling. No. Okay? But the Lord looketh on the heart. Just recently, as we went through 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, Paul's given a defense. And it says, do ye look, he's telling the Corinthians. He says, do ye look on things? This was last Wednesday night. Let's not forget his benefits. Let's not forget his teaching. Do ye not look on things after the outward appearance? Question. If any man trust to himself that he is what? Christ, let him of himself think this again. You got to change the way you think. that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. See, they had a prejudice against Paul because of his outward appearance, because he wasn't a macho man. Just a normal, ordinary man. And he has some eyesight problems too. So the issue is looking as man sees. If you look at man as man sees, then this problem is a temptation. If you look as God looks, then this problem is a test. Do you see how this is working here? This is how we can apply to everything in our life. In verse 4, we see the pronouncement. It says, "Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of what? Evil thoughts." So if you go down to the temptation, and you think and you see as man sees, nothing good is going to come out of it. And what will evil thoughts do? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then lust hath conceived and bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. And the very next verse says this: "Do not err, beloved brethren." We can't err in this area. There's too much of this junk going on out there, and it shouldn't be in here. Just turn on the TV and you see it. I mean, you can't even have a difference of opinion anymore. And people just go nuts over it. Last days. It's the last days. So there's the pronouncement. See, in John chapter 7, verse 24, Christ tells his disciples this. He says, "Judge not according to appearance, but what? Judge righteous judgment." Righteous judgment is in accordance with God's word. Righteous judgment is in accordance with the Spirit. That means we have to study His word to show that we're what? Approved of God. We need to walk in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill the what? Lust of the flesh. So we see the problem, test or temptation. If you look at man sees, it's a temptation. And because everybody does that, don't they? Everybody has their favors. Then we see the pronouncement that says, hey, if you call yourself a Christian, you're doing this, you're a judge of evil thoughts. We don't want that. We don't want that at all. So in verses 5 through 7, and we get out quickly tonight because this is pretty quick. We need the proper perspective. What perspective do we need to look through the world's through the world at? God's perspective. We need to look at His lens. In verses 5 through 7, it says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of the world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worship that worthy name by which ye are called? No man can serve two masters. He will either serve one and deny the other, or serve the one and deny either one." Okay, you cannot serve what? God and mammon. So we need the perspective of Christ on this. In the Christmas cantata, there was one, it was interesting, we were singing the song today about Christ came out of heaven into poverty. And let me tell you something about rich and poor in the church. The poor are more Christ-like in station. Think of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for what? Your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." In Matthew 8, verse 20, this is how Christ lived. It wasn't about accumulating stuff. He owned it all anyway. It says that Jesus said unto him, because someone said, I'll follow you wherever you want to go. Okay, so here's the test. Do you really mean that? And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He didn't have home. He was the ultimate missionary. He was the ultimate missionary. And so, this whole thing, James writes and says, look at the poverty of Christ. Don't look at what people have. You're looking on the outward. You need to look on the inward. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Just think of Christ. Just think of Christ. And I hope to change your perspective tonight about this. He was born in a borrowed stable. There was no room for him in the inn. He borrowed loaves and fishes to feed the 5,000 and then the 4,000. He didn't just magically create it out of nothing. He used what people say, but he borrowed it. And then he gave it back. He borrowed a boat to speak when the crowd was too large to talk to. He borrowed a coin, actually told Peter to go get it out of the fish's mouth, to illustrate a truth. But he didn't have it on him. He got it from somewhere else. Think of the nation of Israel. They forgot all of his benefits. When they came out of Egypt, they were slaves. They had nothing. When they came out of Egypt, God made the people give them everything they needed in order to worship him in the wilderness, in order to sustain them. He had to borrow a donkey to enter into Jerusalem. Well, this was all God's. But think of it. He didn't own the stuff, although he could have owned all the stuff. And he, for our sakes, though we were rich, he became what? Poor. He borrowed a room to serve the Last Supper. He borrowed the cross that was meant for Barabbas and took his place. And then there was a borrowed tomb to be buried in. None of the stuff had been prepared, but it was provided at the time. Folks, this is truly the poverty of Christ. He came into this world as a little babe. Didn't amass any sort of, well, probably didn't leave a will. Okay? He just went about doing what God the Father told him to do. And he did it for us. So take this back into this text. We need to honor the poor. We need to help those. Just because they look good doesn't mean they are good. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We get to the perspective of Scripture. Psalm chapter 9, verse 18 says, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Psalm 68, 10. The congregation that dwelt therein, thou, O God, thou hast prepared of thy goodness for the who? Poor. Does it say rich here, folks? Psalm chapter 72, verses 12 through 13. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. James later on is going to talk about men's riches. Christ himself said, it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. None of this stuff talks about rich. He shall spare the poor and needy and shall save the souls of the needy. Psalm 102 verse 17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Folks, if God honors the poor, we need to do it too. If God honors the slave, we need to do it too. If God honors the sick, we need to do it too. If God honors the ones that are crippled, we need to do it too. If God honors the one who are challenged, we need to do it too. If God honors people that the world has cast aside, we need to honor them. We need to worship them. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. You don't know what life impact you'll make on someone. That's impartial faith. Well, the prescription is found in verses 8 through 13. In 8 through 9 it says, if ye fulfill... So how do you deal with this? If ye fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do what? Well, do you want to do well? We want to do well. Everybody wants to do well. We want to do well on tests. We want to do it work. Well at work. We want to do well with our finances. We want to do well. And what Christ is saying, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye shall what? Might be? No, you'll do well. You'll do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin. It's not what you think, it's what God says. He says it's sin. So if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors, and we just prove that we're all sinners. So my question tonight is, are we passing or failing the test when it comes to this issue of respecting people or having favorites or having partiality? If you're failing, you get that right tonight. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. You need change the way we need change the way we think. Christ said this, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Folks, it is our duty as Christians to lift up Christ. And if we lift up Christ, people will come to Him. But if we act like the world and think like the world and have favors like the world, it won't work. It won't work. In verses 10 through 11, well, that can't be God. It's just a little thing. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, what the points he talked about, this, he's guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. It's not, you don't get to pick and choose what sin is. Sin is what God says it is. Bible says, for whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. Failing the test means we're in sin and we need to fix it. Lastly, verse 12 to 13. So speak ye, and so do. Folks, there's too many people out there saying, do as I say and not as I do. There's too many people out there, that second son, I'll go out to your field. I'll go out and I'll do exactly what you want me to and never do it. But there's people that will repent and say, Lord, I know what I need to change in my life. Let me go and do that. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Wow. See, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 7 to 9, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the what? Children of God. Folks, I guarantee you, if there's partiality, there's no peace. There's no unity. And if we're not bringing unity in the church, how can we be called the children of God? I guarantee you, if you have partiality with people, you can't be merciful to everyone. How are you expected to get God's mercy without that? I also guarantee you that if you judge people based on the outward appearance, the Bible says this. It says you are a judge of evil thoughts. And therefore, you're not pure in heart, for you're not seeing God right now. Folks, it's time to get right. It's time to do right. And it's time to act right. Amen? How we are judged by how we judge. We need to judge righteous judgment. Are you doing that? Are you walking in life righteously? That's what we're supposed to do. If not, and we're looking at things the way the world looks on it, we need to clean that up and get rid of that and forsake it tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to have an impartial faith. One that we minister to all. Father, I pray that if someone here is bothered by this, Lord, that tonight they will see it your way. Lord, I pray that if there's someone that's doing this, that they would confess and get it right tonight. Lord, I ask that you bring unity, Lord, in our faith. I ask that you just bring truth, Lord, to our lives. Help us, Lord, to look through your eyes and not our own. Help us, Lord, to see the need and not what we think the need is. Help us, Lord, to be your servants. We give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.